Sylvia Fabre, I'm going to ask you maybe to sing something this morning from the Medley I In. That would be interesting. Do you hear something, perhaps I might suggest possibly the fourth salon? In the Medley Swirling Ceremony, there are essentially seven parts. The whirling has four parts, four salons as they're called. And we'll run through the whole ceremony. As I said last night, it begins with a hymn to the prophet, who is the pre-existent mercy. Then creation, expressed through an improvisation on the Nefu. Then the procession, which you all experience, which is sometimes thought of as representing the journey from mineral consciousness to vegetable, plant consciousness, animal consciousness. And then there is a boom, boom, boom on the drum, and the dervishes who had kneeled down after the procession take off their black kirpas robes, and they're standing in white robes, which represent resurrection in love. The black kirpa represents the grave, the conical, cylindrical camel's hair hat represents the tombstone of the ego. And so now they've arisen from the grave, they've thrown off the grave, and arrived, they're resurrected by love. And they begin to walk past the sheikh who is holding the transmission of the lineage, and they begin to whirl out. And they whirl out in a sacred space that has an equator and two halves. And one half represents the arc of ascent of the soul, and the other half represents the arc of descent of the soul. So we're either moving toward the divine, in union with the divine, but then there's also the movement toward embodiment, toward bringing that divine back into this existence. And they bow as they every time they cross the equator, the dervishes bow even before they step across it. So the first, second, and third salams represent an ascent from another point of view. The third salam being the most ecstatic, time of union with the divine. And during the third salam you hear music which turns into a waltz time, and things really begin to take off for a beautiful, intense period of time. And then the music shifts, and the fourth salam is a very sort of stately, majestic, slowed down tempo. And it's usually the same words that are sung in all the fourth salams. Even though we have something like maybe 70 compositions in the classical repertoire, and they're still being created to this day by Medley composers, and this has taken place, particularly as far as we know, over at least the last five centuries. What happened before that, we're not sure, but we know the composers who were Medley Dedes going back probably to the late 1400s. So we have these compositions, they're in different maqams, many different maqams, so they each have a different feeling because of the mode that they're in. And sometimes they put in different words, either from Nirvana, sometimes from Nirvana's son, Vilet. And it is an incredible integration of worship, dynamic meditation, classical music, both instrumental and vocal, choreography, sacred geometry and cosmology. This is what's being acted and enacted. Then back to the fourth salon. In the third salon, the dervishes, the semazens as they're called, have entered into that intimacy with Allah. They've dissolved in that intimacy. But in the fourth salon, they're coming back from that unity. And it's as if they're being given their own nafs, their own soul back. It's been taken into the divine. It has been reset, to use a contemporary technical term. It's a reset of the soul. And then it's as if you're given yourself back. Okay, here, have a self now. You've experienced what it's like to be beyond the self. Okay, let's try it again. It's be reborn. And so the dervishes are in this fourth salon and they're turning. And this is when the sheikh, who has been holding the transmission of the lineage through the whole ceremony, slowly walks out into the center and begins to turn. And he holds his kirka open slightly. Allowing the heart emanations to radiate. And also in memory of those dervishes, ecstatic dervishes of centuries gone by, who reached such a state of ecstasy that they literally tore off their robes and lost all control, which Mevlevis don't do. We're not allowed to do that. We are taught to contain the ecstasy and not to express it. But nevertheless, we honor those who completely lost it. But in a very dignified way. So the sheikh, who's called the post Nishin, the one who holds the post, the transmission, is revolving very slowly. And it's understood that the souls of the semazens are being reformed in the fourth salon. They're being irradiated and they're being given back themselves in a new way. Towards the end of this fourth salon, the composed music ends and a single instrument begins to improvise, and it could be any one of the stringed, usually a stringed instrument, not a flute, may improvises in a very light, delicate sort of way. And the semazens are still turning, and you hear the swish of their robes. If you're close in a traditional semahane, semahal, you hear the footsteps along with the delicate music that is being played. Everything has come down to a kind of hush. And then suddenly, the Quran reciter bursts into that hush with typically, it could be any lines from the Quran, but it usually includes this. To God belongs the easts and the wests, and wheresoever you turn is the face of God. And God only needs to say be, and it is. At the moment the sentence hear the voice of this, of the Quran reciter, they stop, put their hands over their shoulders in the posture of Alif one, and they back up and they're kneeling down and listening to this recitation. It's as if the whole ceremony has prepared them for this one moment of being receptive to the divine revelation. That's our ceremony, that's our practice, which is done typically weekly in those Mevlevi lodges that stretch from Baghdad to the Balkans, to North Africa, all the way to Mecca, Jerusalem, Mecca, where the centuries leading up to the early 20th century. So I thought it would be beautiful to just hear a taste of the choral music. And so if you can sing to us whatever it is. Salam.
This is Acemaşiran Ayin-i Şerif, with Hüseyin Fahrettin'de de. And I sing is the first salam.
First salam.
Oh,
Your experience. kesiyor.
And one of the things that really, whilst Daniel was turning, his hands were reflecting on the mirror over there, and it just made me think about all of the connections that we sometimes don't see, and all the other things that are perhaps even turning just right next to us, and we just don't see it because our attention is somewhere else. So I just was fascinated by that. And then when the second time he started, because I've noticed it obviously from the beginning this time, and when he was lifting his hands, you could see the reflection on the moon. It was
words will not really convey very, very intense sense of just wanting to fall on my knees and they kiss your feet. There was such a sense of it really came through the sound, and of course the majesty and perfection. It's just the quality. It's just like awe is probably the strongest feeling. Awe and majesty,
which reflects in us as humility. Yeah, thank you. Let's go to Sheila and then Sabina.
Oneness and hope, compassion and mercy as objective qualities of the universe.
So, reflecting the objective qualities of the universe through this beauty, this music. Sabina.
My heart is beating so fast. I hope I sound coherent, but it just goes beyond words. Sadhu could be singing in Chinese. It would have been the same feeling. And with the first beat, it's like some primordial call before the soul knew this body. It goes beyond. So like, in that immediate second, my body is almost like in dancing mode. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, it's really, it's beyond this life, beyond this body. It goes, I can't put it into
words. Thank you, dear one.
Like a complete out of body experience. As Sabina said, from the first call I felt shockwaves through my body, but then after that I just fell into this very deep reverie, and I wasn't here, I was somewhere else. And coming back was quite difficult. With everyone kind of talking about like an out-of-body experience, when I close my eyes, I have this image in my head of like some sort of energy in everyone kind of coming into the middle with Daniel, and a sound or like a wave coming from like Selja singing and everything was just in harmony, and it was just a really beautiful image in my head.
I wonder if it would be appropriate to ask what Daniel's experience was during his journey, if it's appropriate to share, and if he's willing to.
I think I feel a big mixture of feelings. A part of me feels a great serenity, as if a stillness, and as if I'm becoming a kind of mirror. Another part of me is nervous and self-conscious. And another part of me is just trying to stay upright and stay turning. Another part of me is obviously doing the zikr, Allah, Allah, and trying to feel a connection to the lineage, to Dede and Ali. And yeah, so it's a mixture of those feelings, and it varies, but all those things together.
Experience.
offers.
The question you asked today was, what is your experience? So, I guess, just to be honest, I felt separation in some way. I felt observing something beautiful, but not participating, not involved in the sort of Western sort of, like yesterday was, everyone was participating, it's like being involved in this sense of performance, or observing performance, that this was the sense of some feeble separation, seeing beauty, but being separated also.
Thank you for sharing that. It's because it's honest, it's an honest record of your experience at this moment. And my response to that would be fine. And but maybe there's a process in which the human being undergoes the diminishing of that separation that comes from observing. And that's an aspect of the spiritual journey. So it's all fine, perfect. You're here. You can observe, you have awareness, you have eyes, you have all these things to be grateful for. Sana.
It's actually connected to what Morthy just said. I wasn't going to share anything, but I feel like so. For many years I felt separate from the whirling because I so wanted to do it and I really felt on the outside, which is ridiculous because Daniel was right in front of me in the living room practicing. I think for me perhaps that was more so because he is who he is to me, and I wanted to share that with him so much. And I remember years ago when you visited Dede, and I kind of shared, you know, I couldn't physically do it, and what we touched upon, I think yesterday or the day before, about turning inwardly, you gave me that practice to do. And so when I would be lying down and sitting, or when Daniel was doing it, I would sit there, turn with him. And it is such a process. It's taken, you know, my ego and nerves have struggled over the years, but now I feel so blessed to be part of the senators in this community, helping them, being with them. Yesterday, being with Seljuk, helping and preparing. I don't even know when that separation dissolved away. I no longer feel like I'm not doing it. There are moments where I can physically do it, but yet, even when I'm turning with Daniel, and with Usman, and Simon, and Dahlia, and Alia, and everyone who turns, I physically feel like I'm doing it with them. And I'm so grateful to recognize just now that's where I was and this is where I am. And I'm so really grateful actually for the question because it was like, oh my goodness.
I wasn't planning on saying anything either, but I'm going to say something. Like when I watched Daniel doing this Nama performance, I felt like it was really beautiful, and I felt partially separated, but also partially in it. So in a way, like, it made me feel that, like, wow, like, I want to be doing that. I want to be a part of that. And that feeling of wanting to be doing that was quite nice. And it also made me, while Daniel was doing this, it also made me think about the universe, how the universe is running and ordering and being in order, and sort of everything is just going around, and so you want to be in line with the universe. I want to be in line with the universe, the flow of intelligence, the flow of nature that's sort of flowing and moving in everything, and sort of one spirit that's kind of in everything and running and moving everything. And so this sort of oneness, unity, felt, for me, it felt beautiful, and seeing it in front of me, it just made me imagine the universe just kind of being in unity and moving around and just kind of going, and
I want to be a part of that sort of motion cycle in a way.
Beautiful, thank you, Sam. To me, this is an example of the human being knowing from within, because the truth of what Sam just said could be elaborated for hours, scientifically, poetically, spiritually, and the extent and depth of this truth, of the objective function of the vortex in its relationship to the zero-point field and its relationship to energy coming into this existence. And the fact that the planets are whirling, the planets are turning. Does anyone ever ask who set them spinning and why they're still spinning? This is an objective aspect that is a sign of the relationship between the infinite dimension of non-existence and this dimension of space-time that we're living in. And it's miraculous that there is this practice, which Shamsi Tabriz really pushed Mevlana into. He really encouraged this in Mevlana. And we inherit that practice and that energy. So at some point we will go into other aspects of this, of the vortex and what's really going on. For this one, we have lived this music. We have been part of a ceremony many, many times in many, many places, and so I have a living experience of the music, the musicians, the semizens, people we traveled with over the years, quite a few of whom are already gone from this world. But when I hear the music, what became very real for me was the presence of centuries, generations, ancient ones, going back all the way to Mevlana, but this community of people who have come together both to enact this ceremony and or support it. And for me it was very alive, very present. I felt that that all that was here, all that was brought here by Seljuk's singing and by our attention, and focus on it. And in that sense, I felt like I wasn't just here in this room with you, but I felt like I was here in a vast space of musicians, Zens, lovers of God, lovers of Medlana. The music, every note of which came out of the soul of one particular Medladidere, who was part of a continuing tradition of music and musical form inherited and developed and full of symbology and cosmologies, and an expression of beauty, the human capacity to express beauty for a purpose of lifting us all into that beauty. Because this was not, for centuries, not a performance art. When we did the tours which was never our idea, we never thought, let's do a tour of the Medlevis. It happened. We were made to do it, literally. The call of the world just drew it out. And we, in introducing the ceremony, I and Camille, we would always say, you are not an audience, we are not performers, and you are not an audience. There's always been a place for the guest with this ceremony. This is, for us, worship, remembrance, and love. And everyone in the Performing Arts Center, the auditorium, whatever it was, you are your guests, not an audience. Seljuk, do you want to say anything? And you could say it through a translator. You could have somebody help you express yourself. Did you understand what our friends were saying?
I can give small information for about maybe the islands.
Yeah.
We have some rules. And this maybe the islands is the big, best big forms in the classical Turkish music. The one composer in the end of the lives is the best composition is just Mevlevi Ayins. And we can use as the very big rhythms in the Mevlevi Ayins. Like 28, it's Mevlevi Devrikedir names. 32, Muhammed's. Like 56 is that we can use big rhythms. And
these are the rhythmic patterns called usuls.
Usul.
As much as a, did you say 52 beat?
56.
That means no repetition. No repetition over a 56 beat cycle.
And also every Mevlevi Ayins, four parts. He says every part is named Selam, once. Selam, first Selam, second Selam, third Selam, last Selam. And also every Mevlevi Ayins, second and fourth Selam is, usul is never changing, is 9 beats, El Fer. Run, ta 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 is rules. And all of the words is take, composer is take the Mesnevi. And what we do? We sing the Mesnevi with the musical. And this composition, we have like 135 different Mevlevi Ayins, different makams. And fourth selam, we have last pesha with instrumental parts. And a little bit is rhythmic. Like that. And after, Son Yürüksemai is eight for us. This is Semai's finish. And if we understood this journey, and after eight for us. And this partition is means for celebration. Okay? And end of the ayins, and we sing the Quran and Baqarah. It's 185, 86, I think. And the inside, Velillahi Mashruki Val Marubi Fa Innama. Yesterday, some friend asked the sixth direction. Inside the Baqarah, the sixth direction. You are in the Kaaba now. Okay? You crash your ego, and your Kaaba is empty, and where you learn, you see six direction, you will see the God. And also in the Sema ritual, it's really, if we sing this Mevlevi Ayins, it's very healthy, really. Sema Safa, Jana Shifa, and Ruha Vida. It's every time we smell and we singing, because it's very funny. Yes. Because it's on Mevlana ways. It's every time Mevlana is, you know, brings to happiness and positive energy. And you know, but every ayins in finish the ayins and we go back to our home and our world, and we need to exactly, it's very important critical points, we need to tefekkür,
reflect.
Better than 1,000 years ibadat, Muhammad says.
Moment of reflection is like more than 1,000 years of worship.
Does it matter what reflection or doesn't it?
Yes, it does matter.
And also is every ayin is different makams, it brings to different motions. Makam Sabah is different, Hüzzamayin is different motions, Zibayati. For example, Suzi Dilara is Sultan Third Selim, he's a Mevlevi Dervish, Ottoman Sultan. It's 18th century. He's a composer, ney player, and very well tambur player. He finds 6-7 makams in the Turkish classical music. Sultan II Mahmud is the same. He have the very, very good Suzi Dilara ayins.
Do you want some more parts?
Yeah.
Story of Sultan Selim. Well, we do tell a story of Sultan Selim. Some of us who have been to Turkey and will be going very soon. We visit the Gulata Mevlevi Khan. We will be having a sema there for our group.
But Sultan Selim, who was a great progressive reformer in the Ottoman, late Ottoman period, was a Mevlevi dervish. He would spend, and we're told he would spend maybe Sunday at the Mevlevi Khane. And so he was there and he was just being a dervish. And his sheikh told him, you actually have to make a little a profession for yourself so that you can earn your own bread. In other words, you just can't be a sultan. You can't live off of that, guaranteed income. You also have to, maybe carve spoons or something and sell those spoons to at least pay for your bread. And so he was a dervish, he was learning all these things. And then at a certain point, this whole, retinue arrives, from the Topkapi Palace to pick up the Sultan, and they knock at the door of the tekia, and they say, probably with trumpets and a lot of fanfare, we're here to get Sultan Selim. And the response is, oh, there are no sultans here. Really, Sultan Selim, he's not here. Oh, Selim John. Yeah, Selim John, your ride is here. Something like that. So yes, he was a progressive reformer and very close friends with Galip Dede, who was one of the great poets of the Ottoman period. And both of them, well, Galip Dede is buried in the Mevlevi Tekke. Probably Selim is probably buried at Topkapi. And it was a very high, beautiful period of Mevlevi culture in the late 1700s.
And one of the Dede's, who was a wonderful composer, I think it was Dede Efendi, is buried in Mecca, in the graveyard next to next to Hadija.
Okay, Suzadil Aminyan.
Suzadil Aminyan comes, it seems, from comes to the Rast family. Yesterday we sing some Ilahi from the Rasts. Fresh Moshis.
Yeah.
Yeah.